Matt Sullivan here to remind you to stop putting screens on your gutters. Better to schedule a free estimate with the local experts at Gutter Helmet so you stay off the ladder. Visit gutterhelmetindy.com. With Gutter Helmet, you'll never clean your gutters again. gutterhelmetindy.com.
I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
And now, Hammer and Nigel go off the rails with Rob Kendall.
Noise pollution.
My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer is here. Also here to go off the rails is Rob Kendall from the Kendall and Casey Show. Rob, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks, as always, to our segment sponsor, Garage Doors of Indianapolis.
Any theories as to why these anti-Israel, pro-Hamas protesters that were out in front of the governor's mansion this morning blocking traffic, and protesters in general, wear the masks? You know, like the COVID-19 era masks. Any theories as to why they put those on to protest?
I believe the phrase you're looking for is mental illness, Nigel.
Okay. Or they want to hide their identity because they're cowards.
Well, that, and it's virtue signaling. I'm checking all the boxes, right? Like, I'm protesting for Hamas. I'm wearing a mask. I'm, you know, it's virtue signaling. And you're right. Part of it is probably identity theft. But I'm going to come back to my original answer. I think a big portion of it is mental illness.
So they're okay with wanting to slaughter Jews and have blood on their hands, but they don't want anybody to get germs on them.
I think you're spot on here. Now, look, I mean, the reason they do this stuff, clearly they're attention-seeking people. Many of them have no idea what they're actually talking about or what the ramifications are if they got what they wanted. They're doing this, though, because they believe they can get away with it. Because this city has a track record of allowing people who commit egregious behavior in public to get away with it scot-free with no ramifications whatsoever.
So I heard you talking about this on your program earlier today. The last time there was a little commotion in front of the governor's mansion, the ringleader got a meet and greet with the governor.
Yeah, don't forget the law-abiding people who planned it out, who had the permits. Now, remember, that was the original in April of 2020. Got the permits, peaceful, picked up all their trash, went home. They got called a human petri dish by Eric Holcomb.
Those were the anti-lockdown people, right?
We don't want any money. We just want to go back to work. We just want to run our business. Holcomb said they were a human petri dish.
They didn't break any windows. Ooh. Nobody got beaten or anything like that.
No, but if you're Malik Muhammad, who led the angry mob to the governor's mansion, threatened to seize the governor's mansion on live TV, and then told the TV afterwards, "I went here expecting to die." Well, then you get a meet and greet with Eric Holcomb, and depending on who you believe, you get to help write part of the police reform bill. So if you're these lunatic pro-Hamas people, and the governor has called the law-abiding people a human petri dish, and the guy who threatened to seize the governor's mansion on live TV, he gets a meet and greet red carpet treatment from the governor, which one would you go with?
But luckily, we live in Marion County, where we've got a prosecutor that's super tough on crime and is ready to lock people up that threaten society.
Well, there were people that were arrested today.
Yeah, but what's going to happen to them? I mean, does anybody think they're going to face, you know, swift and harsh justice and they're going to be made an example of?
I'm sure Kamala Harris will bail them out.
That's
Justin Timberlake, Steve Carell. At least that's what happened in 2020.
People will behave based on what they get rewarded in order to do. Very few people have the decency to say, "Man, that would make me a complete a-hole to just stop traffic and totally disrupt everyone's day." These people will do what they believe they can get attention for and what they can get away with.
And Nigel and I talk about this all the time. Do you really think you're winning people over by these antics?
They don't care. They're attention seekers. They are look at me people, and they're virtue signal people, and they have no idea what they're even talking about. They have no idea the ramifications of what they're saying. Think about how stupid you have to be to wake up each day going, "You know, Hamas is kind of a victim in all this. I'm really going to go to bat for them this morning."
But dude, people wake up and think that and other things. Professional victimhood is like a real thing in this country. People wake up every day and just look for something that bothers them.
They do. You're 100% correct. But they do it because they get attention. They're not scorned by society. They're not outcast by society. There was a time in this country where if you were doing what these people are doing, even places like the Indy Star would be covering you going, What an insane group of morons that are out here marching in favor of terrorists. But in the modern era in which we live, these people are getting credibility. They're getting credence. Their story is being told as though there's some validity to what they're trying to accomplish. And so they're going just like little children. Unless you punish people, they're going to continue for what they get rewarded
for. Did you see that lady inside the coffee shop, or it was a deli? I don't know. Somehow I ended up feeling so sorry for Alec Baldwin. Because some lady shoved a phone in his face and say, Alec, say F Israel. Say something positive about Gaza. You killed a lady, Alec. Say F Israel. If you just say it, I'll leave you alone. Even if I was on their team, even if I did believe some of what they're spouting, that does not endear me to your cause whatsoever.
These lunatics have put us in the position of supporting Alec Baldwin, yeah. And that's not a position I want to be in, Rob.
They're shameless individuals, and when you have people who have no shame and they don't fear consequences, then you really have no control over them whatsoever. And this is the manner in which they're going to behave. Like, you guys and I, we obviously have a very low opinion of Alec Baldwin. But if we saw him out in public, we wouldn't go stick a camera up in his face demanding him say, WIBC is the best, Alex. Just say it. Just say it and we'll let you go. It's insane behavior. So it comes back to my original statement. The issue here is mental illness.
We're going off the rails with Rob Kendall from the Kendall and Casey Show. So I saw that the campaign of Jennifer McCormick, the Democrat challenger, former state superintendent, she is going to be getting a pretty big chunk of change from the Teachers Association.
Yeah, $1.3 million to help with her election campaign. Now, she has as much chance of being governor as I do, and I'm not running. And my observation on this is because the Teachers Association money, there's not a money printing factory for them that I'm aware of, it comes from teachers. And so it's pretty hard for me to feel sympathetic to you when I hear, oh, teachers are so underpaid and they need more money. If you have $1.3 million laying around to literally flush down the toilet.
To just light on fire, because she's not going to win.
She has zero chance to be the governor of the state of Indiana. And if you have that sort of money laying around, I'm not going to feel sorry that you're underpaid. If you're, the $1.3 million could have helped a lot of teachers, but it's not going to teachers. It's going to political ideology.
And this is something you and I have talked about a lot. The teachers, they get a lot of money. Like, half of the state's budget goes to education. But it doesn't always get passed down to the folks that are in the classroom every day, whether it's the administrations or frivolous spending like this. That's where a lot of this money ends up going.
Yeah, think about this. So it's a $44 billion biennial budget. Over half of the money goes to public education. So you're talking $21 plus billion. $21 plus billion. That's not including property taxes. Think about the property taxes to pay for the buildings is a totally separate equation.
Or the referendums that they'll do.
And you are told by these people that teachers are underappreciated, that they're not paid enough. You're right, Hammer. The issue is not revenue. It's how the revenue is being dispersed. But part of the blame rests on the Republicans. Because how many times do we see, anytime they have some idea to reform public education, that anytime those angry red-shirted teachers show up, they crawl under their desks and apologize for having ideas, and then anymore you see them photographed with these Red for Ed people at the State House thinking that if we just give them more money, if we just suck up to them more, they'll like us or do what we want. They're not ever going to like you, and we, the taxpayers, are the people who keep getting screwed in the whole equation.
Going off the rails with Rob Kendall, I'll pose this question to you. I posed a question, this question to Hammer yesterday. One word to describe that GOP gubernatorial debate.
Train wreck. Is that one word or two?
I think a train wreck. We could do Hammer, just to be clear, he said the word feces, which I don't. Who was the guest that you had on your show today talking about that? That was fascinating.
So we had Pete Seed. He was he worked for State Party multiple times. He worked for Holcomb. He worked for Dan Coats. I mean, Pete Seed is as establishment as you're going to get. And this is what I said. The moderator was so bad that he managed to bring the far right in me, the super establishment in Pete Seed, and sort of all the mainstream journalists together, in the sense of this guy was so awful and so went into business for himself that everybody's looking at this going, what the hell just happened here? This was a disgrace.
And who's to blame for this, right? Like, when you have a left-leaning agency like PBS hosting with one of their guys who probably hates everybody on the stage in a Republican primary, That's not PBS's fault. They are who they are. This has to be the Indiana Republicans' fault, right?
I make this argument all the time, whether it's who you vote for or whatever. If you let a vampire into your house and go, here's my neck, you can't be mad that the vampire drained all your blood. You're right, Hammer. These Republicans, for some reason, why would I want a moderate, even if the guy was middle of the road or fair, in a Republican primary? This is not a general election.
Right.
It's a Republican primary. Why wouldn't they want WIBC staff asking the questions? Because that's what Republican primary voters want to hear. We're in touch with the voters, not this PBS guy who probably hates everything conservatives stand for.
And even if you ask somebody in the WIBC newsroom, and they couldn't do it, then you find somebody else, right? You're absolutely right. This isn't a general election. This was a primary, and you had a dude up there that hated everything that these people stood for and wanted to basically audition for some left-leaning TV gig.
The only decent debate of all these debates, the only decent one was the one that our friend, the most beautiful man in Indianapolis media, Phil Sanchez, did. Because Phil actually asked questions that Republican primary voters might want to know about. This is not rocket science.
Big night for you. Like, this is like bigger than Master Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday for you. NFL draft night, right?
Really? The NFL draft is my favorite sporting day of the year. It is the most, to me, the most compelling sporting event of the entire
year. Tell me
year.
You're a Bears fan without saying you're a Bears fan if the NFL draft is the biggest night of your year.
I just love everything about it. I start getting super into the draft about 2 months before the draft. I read different mock drafts every single day. I love watching the podcast. I love the strategy of it. I love that there's all this buildup.
So you're like Mel Kiper when it comes to this.
I know all these guys.
Mel
all
Kendall
about
Jr.
Oh, yeah. I used to. And I hate they changed. It. I loved, used to love, remember when it was 2 days and you would start at 9 a.m. on a Saturday and it would just run all day and then you do it again Sunday? I miss those days, but still, night one of the NFL draft, this is the pinnacle of sports for me.
Even bigger than the Masters.
Oh,
I
totally.
Don't get that at all.
Because it's the intrigue. It's, you know, some guy whose hair is so big you can't even put a hat on his head is supposed to alter the course
of
a...
We know where all these quarterbacks are going,
you have
right?
No idea. No, outside of Caleb Williams, we have no idea. You have no... Now, you know Washington's going to take quarterback at two, but you don't know who it is.
Okay.
And then you have no idea what the Patriots are going to do at three. The Vikings have been planning for months on how to get up to be able to take one of these people. Overwhelming majority of these guys are going to bust. I just love everything about the 3 or 4 hours of the first round of the NFL draft. I think it is the thinking man's event, and you guys know I am the thinking man.
Sure.
Pick 15 is where the Indianapolis Colts are. They're normally not trade-up people. Ballard's always been a trade-behind guy, but... Boy, there's some weapons available if you want to pull a trigger.
I think we may have worlds colliding here because the Bears are at 9. I think they're looking for extra picks. And I think you could see a thing where the Colts at 15 say, hey, we'll give you our 2 to move back to 15 if you've got a Roma Dunze there at 9 or a Malik Nabers or a Brock Bowers. I think you certainly could see. The Colts have got to go big, something big. They can't take another boring cornerback or offensive lineman this time, can they?
Especially with all the moving and shaking that the Texans have done. In the offseason.
You got to get a dude.
Yeah.
You're going to have to do something.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's coming up on the big show tomorrow?
Tomorrow we're going to have celebrity attorney Stephen P. New. He's going to be on. We're going to talk about, did you guys know the non-competes may be going the way of the dinosaur? Did you see
that?
The Federal Trade Commission giving that the axe. Stephen P. New going to be with us to talk about the legal ramifications of the non-compete going away.
And special thanks to
Garage Doors of Indianapolis. You guys are the best. Thank you.
He's off the rails. That's Rob Kendall. This is the Hammer and Nigel Show.